Please drive around.
10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Oh, boy. Okay, enough of that childishness. All right, time is 9:30 and change. It's you're listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook, also W297BM at 107.3 FM, and streaming at WUSB.FM. The name of this show is Everything Must Go. I'm Ken. Hi. I'm just going to give you a rundown of the last couple of tracks that I played for you here. We closed that last leg of the set out with some Big Sugar. That was Round and Round. Before that, we had Metallica covering Diamond Head back in 1988 with a song called The Prince. And I think that originally that was the B-side for One, maybe? I don't remember. In like 98, it appeared on a huge compilation called Damage Inc., I think it was called. It was like a 2-CD set. Had a whole bunch of covers and stuff on it. All right. Before that, we had two tracks from Tom Waits. We had the title track of 2011's Bad As Me. Let's see. We had, and Trouble's Braids from Swordfish Trombones. Say that 10 times fast. All right, we had Urge Overkill from Exit the Dragon with This Is No Place. And we opened that leg of the set with a track called The End of the Line, which was recorded by a band that Martin Beese put together for his 35th anniversary of his recording studio in Gowanus, Brooklyn. So that gets us caught up. And you know, just another reminder that we are in Spring Marathon, Spring Radiothon. So, you know, open up those wallets and get your butts over to WUSB.FM and fill out the form that's right on the splash page. All right. And we're going to move back into it with some Faith No More from the incredible Perfection Angel Dust record. Enjoy. Whoops, wrong fader.
Came up. how you gonna top yourself when there is nobody else? How you gonna do it by yourself? 'Cause I'm not gonna be here to help you.
Like a big shot, but you're really a dummy. Hey, wow!
I'm sorry. Our time is up. You have been listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook, and I also implore that you continue to. This has been Everything Must Go. Let me bring that, bring the bed down a little bit. There we go. All right, that last track was, maybe it was Soundgarden. I don't know. It never happened. Before that, we had Arctic Monkeys with the title track of Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino. Mark speaking. Please tell me how I can direct your call. Before that, we had Lou Reed, Vicious from Transformer. We had Ramones. That was for Winston. Bop Till You Drop. Before that, we had the Raconteurs with Top Yourself. Bad Brains, How Low Can a Punk Get? Corrosion of Conformity, Diablo Boulevard. I was going to tell a story about that, but I don't have time. It's the first song I ever downloaded in my life on dial-up back like 20 years ago, and it took like an hour. Ridiculous, absurd. Before that, we had we opened up with from Angel Dust by Faith No More. We had Everything's Ruined. All right, it is time for me to make way for the next show, and I've been glad you've been here to stick around. And I continue. I prefer that you. I suggest very strongly that you continue to stick around. And it's just about that, almost that 10 o'clock hour. And thanks for sticking around. Have a great night. Be safe, etc.
What's up, everyone? We're going to be doing something a little different tonight. With me today, I have synth-pop slash EDM duo Prism. They've just released their debut album yesterday, Turn to the Sun. So I'm going to be interviewing them about their album, and then we're going to take a listen to it once the interview is over.
Nice.
So without further ado, you're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM, and this is Bedroom Pandemonium. I'm your host, DJ Impulse, and with me, I have Nick and Emma from Prism. How's it going, guys?
Hey!
How you doing? Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Actually, a little not strictly album related, but the name Prism, how'd you guys come up with that?
Yeah, we came up with Prism pretty early on. I think we always loved the storytelling abilities of color and light, and prisms incorporate both of those things, and we love the idea of holding up a prism and changing a whole room, you know, lighting up a whole room and all those layers of glass putting like coming together to create something beautiful like what we do with our music. So
that actually makes total sense because I see rainbows in like everything you have.
Yeah, we try to incorporate it. It feels natural now to incorporate it.
Yeah, for sure. And then what about the spelling? Is that just us?
Well,
R-X-Z-M.
Yeah, P-R-X-Z-M. And we say, you know, what we lack in ease of reading, we make up for in SEO. So if you spell it right, you'll find us on everything. We'll come up first.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
So you guys just released your debut album. How does that feel?
We did.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and a lot of work went into this. Sorry. Oh yeah. Let me get close to the mic. A lot of work went into it. These are songs that we've been working on for years. I mean, some of these songs we started 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and they're just now coming out. So it's really exciting, and it's really fulfilling to see things that we've put so much time and effort into finally be available for everyone to listen to.
Yeah, it feels like the right time too. We've been wanting to wait until they really come together, and it felt like the right time celebrating 10 years as a band, which we just did in January. And we love the springtime. It's a very springy summer album. So figured this was a great time to put it out. So
yeah. So what does this album mean to you both? Because the way I regard music and a lot of forms of art, it's kind of like a piece of your soul, right? That you're putting out into the world. So
sure.
What part of your soul are you showing to everyone who's listening to this album?
It's pretty interesting to write things and create things and then put them out in the world, you know, to be judged, to be listened to be enjoyed, to be critiqued, you know. You're pretty much inviting that as soon as you put something out. So I think that emotionally, once we put it out, I feel like I detach from the emotional side of it a little bit and can see it more as art and less like it's an extension of me. I don't know if that's self-preservation instincts or I really feel like we make music to share, and I hope it resonates with people and it's all true. And it definitely comes from a place of real emotion and real stories and real experience. So we hope it reaches people in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And does this album have like any one specific kind of theme that you've set out to make?
I think the overall theme, like with the title, is really to surround yourself with light and positivity and things that bring you joy and make you feel held and seen and safe and comforted, and how important it is to feel that way in your life as you move through the different phases of your life. And Turn to the Sun is definitely a more obvious reminder, but pretty much the whole album circles around that theme.
Yeah, sonically, I think we've always leaned a little more dark with our music. We have some really heavy, like our past discography has had some very heavy electronic releases. So it's really, from a songwriter or from a production standpoint, these songs are mostly all in major keys. They all have very like uplifting synth solos or chord progressions. And so aside from the actual lyrics themselves, I kind of wanted to evoke a sense of just, I don't know, happiness and lightheartedness with the actual instrumentals.
I definitely think there's a lot of light imagery in this album, a lot with the sun and the light and coming through the window and yeah, it's all warm. That's how I wanted it to feel.
You even had that one line, like, I see the light in the tunnel, I think.
Yeah.
The tunnel. Yeah. But I totally see what you meant, Nick, with all the songs. The production and the instrumentals were just, as I was listening to it, they were all unique in their own way, but they were all uplifting, you know, and they were positive in nature. But it's also interesting to see, because some of the lyrics, they aren't necessarily depressing, but like they can be kind of sad. Mm-hmm. Like Too Much to Lose, it feels like a sad sort of song, but at the same time it's upbeat and it's hopeful. All of these songs are hopeful, which I think is super fascinating.
I think that's right. I think that's a pretty apt, observation. I definitely write what I'm feeling and can find a way to sneak in a message or two in a poppy format, you know. Too Much to Lose is one of those. Eyes on You is also one of those. Did you want to play one of those songs now?
Yeah, for sure. Let's take a listen to Eyes on You by Prism.
Thank you. become.
That song was pretty sick. I don't know. When I first listened to it, it was the last single you put out before your album.
Yeah.
I didn't realize at the time, like, all the songs that were going to go into the album. There was Eyes on You, Too Much to Lose, and In a Way, I think. Those were the ones that you put out. Yeah, but Eyes on You, I knew for sure was going to be on the album. And I'm, like, picturing the entire album as sort of an extension off that one song, and I'm listening to it, and it's like the lyrics are really captivating to me. How did it go? Let's check it out.
Well, the chorus kind of poses a question of how can you use your power that you have? We all have power. We all have different levels of power, but we definitely all wield power or influence in some way. And if there are no real checks on us on how we use that, like, how can we make sure that we're using our influence for good? That's the overall theme. So it kind of plays off the old "with power comes responsibility" adage. And yeah, maybe makes you think about it a little more. And yeah, that was, I actually, writing that song came from pulling some tarot cards. And I had pulled 3 swords cards, which was pretty intense. And it was kind of all about responsibility and taking a deep look at what I should feel responsible for in my life. Because there's a lot of times where something happens and you can blame it, you have a reason, you have justification happening, and you know, there are times as you get older you really just have to take responsibility. So that was the focus of the tarot cards that I pulled, and this song came from that.
Yeah, I mean, I was it's just it's very direct with it too. Can you use your power for good? Wield a sword in the way that you should. But my favorite line was, can you be trusted? Can you be true? What happens with all eyes on you? And funny enough, what I thought most with that is corrupt politicians.
Right, totally.
Yeah.
But it can also, as with the rest of the album, apply directly to each person. And growing up, like, now I'm in the phase of being a college student, as is many of the listeners here to this college radio station, and we're all trying to find our path in life. We're trying to figure out what we want to do in life, but also what's on a lot of our minds, what's definitely on my mind, is how can we use that for good, for the good of others, for the good of society. It reminds me of a 4-way graph. I think it's like a Japanese concept, and it's like you have to balance wealth, fame, personal enjoyment, and good for society. You have to, whatever job or occupation you pursue has to be somewhere in between those 4 so that you can truly be happy. Now that's what this song is about too, with, or at least that's what it's about to me, with being trusted with your power and doing right in the eyes of others.
Totally. Yeah. And I love that interpretation. I expect people will all have their own interpretations. And that's what's so special about putting out music like this, that, you know, it means something to us when we create it. And then it's out in the world. And I mean, we don't have any control over how people take it in. So I love hearing the different meanings for people. It's awesome. And that's It's totally the goal.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'm hoping the listeners also form their own unique meanings to each of these songs that we're going to play, especially after this interview.
I hope so.
Yeah. So what did the creative process look for you guys when you were bringing this album from concept into, like, when you first had the idea of this album, however many years ago, to creating each of the songs to where it's at now, that it's a complete album and it's out there for the world?
So our creative process is, it's interesting. I don't think we said, hey, we're going to write an album, and then we wrote these 11 songs. We work every day together. Every weekday we write music, we hang out, play games, whatever. And from the past, I think the earliest song on the album, I think that we started it three years ago. But again, we didn't go into it saying, like, this is going to be on our album. We work how we work. And maybe 2 years ago, we decided, hey, we've never put out an album before. We had enough songs to build off of. We had a back catalog that we sometimes will work on a song and, we lose interest. We come back to it, 3 months later. And so we had enough of a starting point, and I think a jumping off point, that it made sense to start thinking about these songs as one whole package.
And I remember in the summer, late summer of 2022, we were like, okay, if we're going to make an album, we need to spend real time on all of these works in progress that we have. Yeah. So we spent 1 week from that, I think it was in August, to the end of the year. We're like, okay, if we spend 1 week from now until the end of the year on each of these songs, we will have an idea of how many songs are going to be on this album, how they're going to sound, how they're going to flow together. And that was what happened. We did that. And then by the spring, we were ready to have it mixed and mastered, which my cousin Sam Valentine did for us.
Sick.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever remove any songs from that original backlog that you had, or you?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Definitely.
We definitely did. We start songs all the time. We have tons of stuff in progress. We've got a lot of ideas. Nick makes a ton of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all great. It's just that sometimes something hits a little harder right away.
Yeah.
Sometimes the lyrics come to me right away. Sometimes we'll finish a whole song in a day.
Yeah. We did that with In A Way.
In A Way was in a day.
In A Way was in a day.
That's... Wait, from start to finish, was in a day?
Start to finish. Yeah, maybe four hours.
Yeah.
Wow. So, did you ever... Were you, struggling to get it done in the day, or you just were on, on the flow?
We really never push it like that.
Yeah.
We never do that.
It doesn't make sense, just creatively. When we're working together so often... Now that we've been working together, especially for 10 years, we know when we're starting to feel burnt out. Like, I can recognize when Emma's starting to feel burnt out. She can recognize when I'm starting to feel burnt out. And, because we've worked burnt out before, because we've been doing this for so long, we know that it's just not...
We're not making our best
work. So, we have fun little games that we play, and, we play checkers a lot, which sounds silly.
Nick and I play checkers. Anytime we don't really feel like making music anymore, we'll just play checkers. We call it a juice break.
Yeah, exactly. But,
where we recharge our juice.
Our juice, yeah. So we try to never work on something that we are just fed up with. We're not like, oh, let's just finish
it. Less than that, even something where we're just when it doesn't feel easy.
Yeah, when it doesn't feel easy.
Because we have had so many situations, so many experiences making songs where we can knock it out in a whole day, in a day, where we're just we love it. It comes easily, it comes naturally, it's flowing, and we get into that flow state and we can make the whole song. And if we can have that and we know that exists, then we know that if we're struggling through a song, and I, especially me, forcing lyrics or a melody that just doesn't feel like it's totally, totally forming for me, then we just take a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Take a step back from it.
What's the longest that break has ever been for you guys? The longest you've ever gone without touching music?
Probably during the mixing process of the album, which was 2 months.
yeah, two, three months. Yeah, 2-3 months. We did not want to work on anything new, and getting mixed notes, like, for people who don't know, mixing, when you mix an album, so you produce the album, right? You make it, you record the instruments, you record the vocals, and then you mix it, which is basically making everything, all the levels sound right. So making sure everything's loud enough, making sure nothing is too loud, making sure nothing's too quiet. And then you master it, which is basically just, you know, preparing it for streaming services. But the mixing process is almost a whole different beast. You know, most people who make music are not also mixing engineers. So when, and up until this point, we've mixed and mastered all our own songs. So mixing process, we learned, is a whole...
It's pretty excruciating, yeah. I would say. And my cousin is really great at what he does. And he... You know, he was really, really responsive with our notes, which was awesome. But he would send us, you know, we sent him all of the stems, which is each little piece that makes up a song. So we would send him all the stems, he would put them together, and he'd make the levels, you know, how he thought they should sound. So we would go in, like, second by second with notes. Like, along the bottom, we would just leave a little comment second by second. And it is, you really get to know the songs. You really get to know each little sound. And so we did that for 11 songs. So for, I think that took 3 months. Last spring, that's pretty much all we did last spring. And Sam was awesome. He got back to us pretty quickly with the changes, and we ended up with a product we all were really happy with. So,
yeah.
But that's probably the longest we've gone not making anything new.
Yeah.
But throughout that process, we were still streaming on Twitch. Mm-hmm. And we stream on Twitch on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 Pacific time. And we always make music on that stream. So we'll make... It's kind of our creative... It's a great creative outlet, yeah, for us. And it really gets us moving. And that is one of the situations where even if we're not really feeling something, we do push through.
Yeah.
So we do get that, you know, that exercise in that way.
And what's your Twitch channel, just for everyone listening?
It's Prizm Live. So PRXZMLIVE. Twitch.tv/PrizmLive. Yeah. We're live every Tuesday. Yeah, you should. It's really fun. We have a lot of fun. We have consolidated versions of a bunch of our streams on our YouTube channel also for under our 90-minute playlist, 90-minute song challenge playlist.
Yeah, the concept there is, you know, we'll spin two spinny wheels, and one of the spinny wheels will have just a bunch of genres on it, and then the other spinny wheel will have a bunch of topics, and we'll spin them, and then we have 90 minutes to create a song in the genre that it landed on about the topic that it landed on. So I'll try to, you know, and some of them are really wacky. Like, we've made country dubstep songs about a cryptocurrency. It's a really fun creative outlet.
We've done covers.
Yeah.
We've done all kinds of things. Yeah.
Oh, man.
We made a song out of The Sneetches by Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
That's one of our favorites. We made a whole song in Simlish.
Yeah.
We've been doing that for a few years.
Made up language, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sheesh. I don't even watch Twitch all that much, but at this point, I'm going to have to start. That sounds fine.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It is a lot of fun.
So when you guys, you prioritize your mental health and taking breaks, which is definitely very important. But how do you balance that with staying consistent with, like, do you ever feel the pressure of having to really, like, it's been a while since you released something or anything like that?
I think that there is a article that came out, I can't remember who it was, I should find it, but it was a performer, and she said that people in general have so much going on, they're not going to notice if you're quiet for a little bit and you're taking your time on something. Yeah. And it really spoke to me, because I was like, oh yeah, we can take our time. Nobody's like checking, refreshing, waiting for us to put music out, wanting us to put something out that's not done, you know?
Yeah.
When it's our time, we're going to put it out. It's going to be received. It's going to be great. That was kind of our mantra for me, at least, through the last couple of years.
It's definitely been something that we've had to learn, that especially I've had to learn, because back when we first started in the SoundCloud heyday, when, you know, you didn't need to promote a song too much, you could just drop a song on SoundCloud. That's what we would do. Every 2 weeks, we would release a song basically every 2 weeks on SoundCloud. So coming from that to obviously working on a debut album, that takes a lot of time, and we're not going to put out a song a week when we're working on a debut album. That was something that we had to learn, to be graceful with ourselves and to really just learn to take time, and that it's okay to take time.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't easy at first. It was not easy.
No, and we all live in this hustle culture where we feel like we have to be constantly showing people what we're doing. But the reality is, you can take your time, and you're better off waiting until you have something you're really proud of and then being loud about it, you know, instead of making a whole lot of noise all the time, hoping something lands.
Yeah.
I actually totally agree. That's pretty profound. I had never really thought about it like that, but that's dope.
Nice.
So, when you were making this album, how did you when did you know that it was complete, that it was finished?
At the end of that period where we had spent a week on every song and kind of tied up those loose ends, mm-hmm. sent it off to Sam to mix, we had already signed off on it at that point. So I think we decided on 11. Do you remember when?
I don't remember when, because when we were working on all those songs, I think we had something like 14 or 15 mm-hmm. that we wanted. We had 15 weeks left in the year, and mm-hmm. we're like one song a week.
Yeah, I remember thinking 15 was going to be the number.
And then we paired it back to the ones that we felt were the most complete and most storytelling and most cohesive. But honestly, I think it's because we gave ourselves that timeline. I think because we're like, okay, by this date, all the songs are going to be completed, and then we're going to go from there.
And that end goal for us was like the holidays of that year.
Yeah, exactly. So I think because we were strict with ourselves, with any creative process, it's very easy to just tweak and tweak and tweak and tweak until you go crazy. And so it was important that we set a goal for ourselves. And once we reach that goal, we're like, okay, mm-hmm. next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had it in my mind that music artists, they kind of just, they know as they're making it, everything they want with it, or when they're finished making it, they're just like, yeah, it's done. It's perfect. It's complete. But I never thought about it in the concept of just consistency and deadlines, just working on it one song a week until you get to the end date, and okay, that's it, no more.
Yeah,
but it's definitely a good way to stop it and make sure it does eventually get put out instead of just working on it forever.
Right, because it would be very easy to work on it forever, especially with an album. Like with a song, some songs it's easy to tell when a song is done. There's nothing else you can do to it. It sounds perfect, whatever that means. But with an album, I mean, you can put 30 songs on an album, right? Shouts out Taylor Swift. You can put as many songs as you want on an album. So if we didn't have that goal, that cap, I think we would just...
We didn't even know about the vinyl length.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
We ended up making vinyls for this record, and you can only have there's a maximum amount of time that you can have on the vinyls. And if we had been any longer than pretty much, we were almost exactly at the margin. If we had had one more song, we would have had to do two vinyls. They wouldn't have all fit. So it felt very, felt very meant to be.
There. Meant to be.
And so did you guys ever specifically decide 11 songs, or what you said, it was just because of the weekly schedule that ended up?
Yeah, I think those were just the ones that felt right, and we held on to a few maybe for a bonus edition or another EP later in the year, something like that. And yeah, I mean, we don't have to put everything onto it. I mean, we're still working on music, of course, so there's always next time.
Yeah.
For sure. And how do you decide the order of what, like, of how you want the songs to appear in the album?
We talked a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that overall, we like it to have a good flow, a good cohesive story throughout. And I think starting off strong with Eyes on You and Too Much to Lose and Overgrown is really fun. Flavor